Say you become Minnesota's next U.S. Senator.
Yes.
Would you work across party lines to accomplish change?
There are no party lines anymore.
What do you mean by that?
There are no party lines. There are only patriots and nationalists and globalists. There are no party lines.
But there are still senators from different party perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, for the theater.
So are you willing to...
There aren't a handful of America First, unbought and paid for United States senators in the entire United States Senate.
How about this? How would you collaborate with counterparts?
Tell the truth. I'm not collaborating with traitors. I'm not collaborating with, and some people would say, well, that makes you unqualified to run for the office. The prerequisite is that you have to become enmeshed in the corruption of the machine in order to be a viable candidate. And I think that's what's wrong with American political culture, is that we expect our candidates to sell out, but then we tell them not to.
Collaboration is selling out?
If the collaboration is to undermine the fabric of this country and the value of citizenship, for sure.
I'm thinking about like writing bills and like...
Where do you think the selling out of this nation happens?
Okay, fair, fine. All right, I clearly you have issue with the system.
For sure.
Okay.
I have huge issues with the system. I have huge issues with omnibus bills. I have huge issues with the special interest and lobby money in D.C. I have a huge issue with the fact that it's a conventional prerequisite that a United States Senate candidate has to have pre-committed to a lobby, a special interest in lobby, to have any chance of raising the money necessary to win one of these campaigns. I object to all of that. Welcome to Sunday Night Live, the Alex Jones Show, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, for the next 2 hours. We got a lot of ground to cover in 2 hours. We got a huge, huge runway in 2 hours. That was a clip that I recently released earlier today, yesterday on X, of a PBS Frontline interview that was conducted about middle of last week. I think it was about Thursday of last week. And we're going to be releasing the full 3-hour interview on YouTube tomorrow evening. Please call me crazy. Please call me crazy podcast or Royce White USA YouTube channel. Both YouTube channels will probably have the release of the full interview. it was heavy hitting. I'm excited for everybody to be able to see it. Although if you've tuned in to InfoWars and you've seen me host here before on Sunday for 2 hours, nothing I say in the documentary will surprise you, but it's always different. It's a different medium to be asked questions, and to have the conversation, dialogue type of interaction versus monologue, like I do here on the show and on my own show. So, it's an entirely different medium, and it makes you think differently too. You know, this is one skill set. This is one art, and I don't mean to call it art as though it's, you know, imitation or fake or dramatic or anything like that. I just mean this is one style of talking, and then when you're interviewed, it's a different style. It's a different style. So I'm excited for everybody to see that. But the real point of the interview, I think, and the takeaway from the clip is, absolutely, we object. We object. The American people should object to the fundamental way politics is carried out in our country. From the obscene amount of money, special interest and lobby money, the obscene amount of money that's put into these campaigns, you know, how it's somewhat conceded that American elections are for sale on either side of the aisle. These things American citizens should object to, and I object, and I will object in the United States Senate. We're going to talk about the United States Senate, and I see Tim Pool saying that the Romney-esque conservatives may win this Republican civil war, and what a nightmare that would be. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your host, guest host for the next 2 hours, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll talk a little bit about the fraud as the show rolls on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment.
Yeah. Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at the alexjonesstore.com.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the sea moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.
You are listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
And now, Roy Swine from the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, broadcasting worldwide on the vaunted Infowars platform. Share the live feeds now. You are the Paul Revere.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live, Infowars. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the Belly of the Beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we played you a Frontline PBS Frontline preview of an interview we're going to be running tomorrow evening on my YouTube channel, Please Call Me Crazy. They'll also be running on X, Getter, the War Room platforms. We're going to be running the full 3-hour interview with PBS on all platforms tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. Central. The takeaway, like I said, and I continue to say, we can't resign from the political process in this country. That's not an option. But we do have to acknowledge how corrupt the political process is. We have to stop playing coy with the reality of the situation. The reality is, out of 100 United States senators, I can't count a handful that I would say are America first. That's the reality of our country. That's the reality of the United States Senate, one of the congressional branches of government. We can't count a handful out of the 100 United States senators that we can really say have our best interest at heart. If you need any proof of that, just look at a Republican majority Senate that is still slow walking President Trump's agenda. And I mean the things that have been proven prudent about his agenda, not some, crackpot, toss in the dark. No, the things that we know would work, like the SAVE Act. How do we secure these elections? And that is kind of the elephant in the room. What are we going to do about election integrity? What is being done about election integrity? And here we are. I mean, I said it on day one when President Trump won in 2024. I said, okay, they let him win because they knew the entire world was watching and they wanted to save what little credibility the institutions had left. So they let him win. When I say they let him win, I'm not taking anything away from President Trump or the administration or all of the MAGA patriots or all of the people who participated in the election and feel a sense of victory. We won in 2024, but we won the narrative. We won because of people like Alex Jones and Steve Bannon and the countless others all across the country who contributed to President Trump changing the hearts and minds of enough people to win the narrative. But where did the votes go? From 2020, Joe Biden gets more votes than Barack Obama. Now we see the story coming out of Fulton County, where the Fulton County election board or committee or whoever it is down there in Fulton County comes right out and admits that 375,000 ballots did not have proper signatures. 375,000 ballots? 375,000 ballots. I would say our elections are not secure. And never be mistaken. Never let people hit you with the three-card Monty. It's like, well, if we let President Trump win, maybe enough people will believe in the institution so we can cheat them on the other side. And they know how government actually works. That's why I'm running for United States Senate. Make no mistake about it. The power of this country, the special interests and lobby money of our country runs right through the United States Senate. It is the last bastion of the deep state, where all of the economic interests converge into one pool, cesspool of sellouts.
And Royce, that's I'm sorry, but I'm sitting there listening to you in my chair with the lights turned off. Go ahead and punch me up. I love listening to the show, but he lost Georgia by 11,000 when he said, we know there's fraud, just get me the 11,000 votes. We now know it's 300 plus thousand. We now know it's 200 plus thousand just in Maricopa County. Everything they said, we did the research. It's all real. Everything Mike Lindell went and spent, everything, $100 million he had to investigate. The point is we are vindicated. You're right. This is not the elephant in the room. It is the everything in the room. If we don't fix this, we are screwed. And Trump should be doing national addresses about the election fraud, and now he's vindicated. Go ahead. I'm going to shut up and keep listening to you, but that's what we're going on.
Well, it's an honor. It's an honor, Alex. Thank you for having me on the show again, and thanks for joining in.
I'm just sitting there listening to you while I write notes and stuff, but sorry, go ahead. I just want to back you up. I saw that. They admit, 300-plus thousand fake things, fake water main break, all of it. I mean, this is crazy.
Absolutely. It's incredible. And, 375,000, even the number itself, after all of the people who called us conspiracy theories, election deniers, these people are a danger to the country. They are, insurrectionists and fascists. And
yeah, they wanted to make it illegal to question it. So I agree with you. We've got to hammer Trump to get on the victories and the proof in Arizona and in Georgia. I mean, this is like total vindication.
And it's a slippery slope.
Remember, they charged him for claiming there was election fraud in Atlanta.
Indicted him. It's a slippery slope because I know President Trump is still trying his best to act as a president would act for the public and trying to be conscious of public approval. And when you have
but we're not in a regular situation. He needs to go apeshit.
He's got to go max. He's definitely got to go max here. Because we know what's going to happen. If he slow walks this and he tries to play to the public approval, the public, and I say this with all due respect, I know the InfoWars audience isn't like this, but in general, the American people have been dumbed down by the institutions. And when people are misinformed or uneducated, they crave tyranny because tyranny is easier than freedom. That's the great gaffe of what they call the American experiment.
That's right. Understanding freedom just intellectually is so complex that they don't even understand it.
That's right. And it makes tyranny tempting. It's like, well, and that's the Democrat pitch. Give us all your power. Give us all the responsibility. We'll take care of you. And if we decide to kill you or give you vaccines that aren't healthy or bad food or whatever the case may be, that's the price you pay for giving up the responsibility of everything else. That's their pitch. And a lot of people have bought that pitch. So President Trump can't play to the public approval right now. It's just not a viable option.
Exactly. Leadership is about doing what's right, even though up front it won't be popular. Then when they see the results, then they get on board. Leadership is about doing what's right.
I wonder how many people on average in America believe that our elections are secure right now. I mean, when I talk to people, whether they're Democrat or Republican, a lot of people unanimously agree, like, hey, our elections are, they don't mean it. People will say they don't mean anything.
The vast majority know it's a fraud.
There's a problem, right. But yet they still don't want President Trump to go max and do something about it. They'll say, oh, he's being a fascist. He's overreaching. Look, if your elections aren't secure, you don't have a country. Same thing I said about the border. If you don't have a border, you don't have a country. If you don't have fair elections or secure elections, you don't have a country. Right now, as it stands, as much as we all love America, and President Trump and what we're trying to accomplish for our country, we don't have a country because 375 ballots were not properly done in an election. And they try to throw the man in prison for saying it. It's almost unbelievable.
It is. Pull up the Georgia mugshot. Literally. And now we know met at the White House, all coordinated. We now know the Mar-a-Lago raid was run by the White House. Then, Hunter is on these TV shows saying, oh, no, we never weaponized anything. I mean, it is so over the top. I'm going to shut up and keep listening to you, brother. You're doing a great job. We love the work you're doing.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. It's a second weekend in a row here on InfoWars. Sunday night, I'm honored. I truly am.
Here's you.
Yeah, and, what what Alex is saying is, you know, it's what we've all been saying. And now it's coming true. Now we see it for ourselves. The elections actually aren't secure. And here's my thing. And I always go back to my own team. It's from being an athlete and a sportsman. When we lose a game, when we lose, we deal with us first. We say, we get to the film room, we go to the drawing board, we watch the game back, we say, hey, listen, we missed 9 free throws, or we gave up too many corner threes, or we gave up too many fast break layups, or whatever the case may be, we deal with us first. We don't talk about the refs, we don't talk about the other team, we don't talk about, it was cold that night, any of that stuff. We deal with us first. Dealing with us first starts with the Republican majority Senate and Congress. We cannot continue, regardless of what President Trump has to do politically to, let's say, navigate the Congress and the Senate right now during this moment in history. We, the American people, have to help President Trump hold the Congress and the Senate to the standard that we desire. And that means a lot of these people need to be getting ready for some primaries. A lot of these Republican, regardless of a majority in the Senate or the House or how much great work has been done in the border, they don't all get to take credit for that. They don't all get to take credit for the border. They don't all get to take credit for the tariffs. They don't all get to take credit for any number of these achievements. And when they slow walk the elephant in the room, the security of elections, the SAVE Act, and the other things that are trying to be put in place, when they slow walk it, how do they not face primaries? All of you American citizens out there, and this is why I said in the PBS frontline, if there are no party lines anymore, sure, there's a Republican Party and a Democrat Party. We want people to go into the Republican Party. So I by no means am saying the hell with both parties. If we want those parties to change, we have the choice to actually go into the party. In the Republican Party, you can go to caucus in February. Here in Minnesota, we're going to have caucuses. Go into the caucuses. If you hate the Republican Party and you think they're all a bunch of sellouts and establishment rhinos or globalists, even better, go into the party, go into the caucuses, become a state delegate, and then you get to vote in the room when they say, what's the party platform? Who are the candidates that you want to endorse, like Mike Lindell or Roy Swipe versus some establishment money rhino? There is a place for you to be involved in the process. So I'm not saying don't be involved in the process. When you hear me say there are no party lines, what I'm saying is the current political elite, the way it's constructed right now, is basically a wash when it comes to the party lines. It's a theater. It's intended to give you the perception, the WWE perception of party opposition, when really you can look at the results and infer the motive. Look at the results. Look at the results across the last 30 to 40 years. Look at the results more specifically in the last 4 years, and even more importantly, even during this administration. Look at the results. You can infer the motive. The party lines are nationalists and globalists. And why? Why is that the divide? Because if you don't believe in nationhood, if you don't believe in having a country, if you believe any land that's ever been conquered is illegitimate, it delegitimizes the nation, then you're not really representing America. You're representing something else. And we know what that is. There's an international interest that these people are beholden to. It's a foregone conclusion that to run a United States Senate campaign, a successful one, you have to have already pre-committed to a lobby in order to raise the type of money that people believe you need in order to win one of these races. That's why it was so significant. With the help of Alex Jones and Steve Bannon, the War Room Posse, the InfoWars audience, and all the other alternative media I was able to have access to, that's why it was so significant that I won a statewide endorsement and a statewide primary without any PAC money, without any financial backing from the NRSC. And even the NRSC, it's like people, you know, I saw Michelle Tafoya's name floated out there. She's going to try and, enter my race. Remember, she told Trump in 2024, don't run again. We're ready to get back to normal. It's going to cause too much chaos. Too much chaos if President Trump runs again. We want to get back to normal. You know, and it's indicative of the entire Rhino establishment. They're never Trumpers. They can wear the MAGA hat until the day is done, but they're never Trumpers.
And they still are, even with him in the White House, even after victory, even when he's doing things that are helping build this country back up, they still don't like him. They dislike the ideas. They're fundamentally opposed to the ideas of America first or America being great. Remember, their prevailing philosophy is the managed decline of the West, the inexorable rise of China, the second law of thermonuclear dynamics. China must rise. America and the West is destined to fall. And why, name me one time in the history of human civilization where our political elites got so rich on the way down, where political elites of any empire got so rich on the way down. It's never happened before in the history of human civilization. When the Roman Empire fell, even the Roman oligarchs and the high society, the lords and all of the people who were, in power in Rome didn't get as rich on the way down as our elites are now. Never in history. This is unprecedented that a country, a nation, an empire's elites get this rich on the way down. So President Trump comes in to stop the bleeding and say, hey, hold on. We're not conceding that the West has to be in decline. It may be in decline for obvious reasons, but we're not going to concede that the decline is inevitable. And then you get these people like Michelle Tafoya that say, don't run. It's going to cause too much chaos. No, they don't. Good. A little chaos is necessary sometimes when people are bought and paid for, shilling, selling out. When there's a cesspool of a swamp there in D.C., it's time for a little chaos, time for a little controversy, time for some smoke in the air. We're at war here, and it really is a war. And I say that again because they floated Michelle Tafoya out there, and what do they say in the opening gamut? What do they say in the opening headlines? She was meeting with the NRSC. That's the only red flag you should need to hear. The NRSC, who do you think coordinates and organizes the PAC money and special interest money in the Republican Party in the United States Senate? The NRSC. Senator Tim Scott, and I know the president, likes you, and that's all well and good, but I know who you are. I know who Tim Scott was when he said in public, during the presidential campaign, we have to be ready to fight a war on three fronts in Asia at all times. Excuse me, sir. What did you say? The American people will not be fighting a three-front war in Asia if the America First and MAGA movement have anything to say about it. We will be primarying you and Steve Daines and John Thune and all the other neoconservative, Trotskyite, Republican establishment rhinos from California to the Upper East Coast. If you think our priority is to fight a three-front war on the Eurasian landmass. The conventional wisdom used to be, don't get into a land war in Asia. And people like Tim Scott want us to be ready to fight on three fronts in Asia. It's insulting to the American people's common sense. What are we doing in Asia anyway? Hell, forget the Middle East. Let's get out of the whole deal. That's why when President Trump says hemispheric strategy, they all quiver. Let me say this, and I say this as honestly as I can. The most significant deviation from the status quo of corruption in American political history, at least in my lifetime, but maybe in American political history, is President Trump saying hemispheric defense, hemispheric strategy. Why? Because the dividing line is nationalists and globalists. And somewhere in here, and I put a lot of the blame on the American people. And I know they fed it to you down the pipeline at your elementary and grade school. I get it. We all fancy ourselves Atlanticists, a part of the European Commonwealth. I get it. That's why I posted the clip the other day of the classic classic Alex Jones versus Piers Morgan, and he calls him a redcoat. And then Piers Morgan is trying to do some good things now, and he's opening up the dialogue and having some controversial people on in conversations. But just never forget the record. I always go back to the record. Alex Jones says, yeah, you're a redcoat. You're a redcoat. You're here from England trying to tell us to give up our guns. We're not giving up our guns. Bottom line, end of story, end of discussion, full stop. We're not giving up our Second Amendment rights. But even Piers Morgan being here and being as big as he is and the entire romanticism with British accents and the British Empire, it's all indicative of an academic philosophy. And the academic philosophy is that America is going to carry the water for the entire Western world. This goes back to Halford John Mackinder's geographical pivot of history. I'm sorry, I'm getting too deep now. I'm sorry. The geographical pivot of history is Halford John Mackinder warning the British Empire, you're a naval power. Warfare's about to change. If you can't walk to the resources you need, you are at a strategic disadvantage. So what did the British Empire do? They fortified their outposts all across the colonial empire. And it was fun. It's funny when you go back and read it, it's kind of prophetic maybe it was a little Freudian slip of Halford John Mackinder. It's like, is it really a genuine and authentic academic thought piece, the geographical pivot of history, or was it a battle plan? history would reflect that Halford John Mackinder said there were three alliances that the British Empire needed to be worried about. Most worried about that. If any of these three alliances rose to power, then the British Empire would have problems solidifying the Eurasian world island. And where does the power and dominance of the Eurasian world island start? Right there in the breadbasket of Europe, known as Ukraine. He who controls Eastern Europe controls the heartland. He who controls the heartland controls the Eurasian world island. And we've been fighting a war with Russia as a proxy since the end of World War II for the number of reasons they fence it as. But the bottom line is it's a fight about resources, and it's a fight to prop up the Europeans. And think about it. Why does a country who has 500 million people need a country with 350 million people to protect it from a country with 80 million people? If I'm the Russians, I'm sitting here saying, you know what? When push comes to shove, all these Anglo-Saxons are a little soft. And we are. And that's the bitter, the bitter pill we have to swallow, and we need to change. Because the Anglo-Saxons, if we include ourselves, which we shouldn't, but we are a little soft because the Russians only have 80 million people between us and the European Europe. There's almost three quarters of a billion people living between America and Europe. And we can't hold off Russia. We're going to be talking about that on the other side of break. We got to hammer this home. Nationalists, globalists, what is the foundation of the real political divide in this country that we all need to be paying attention to? If you're an InfoWars listener, you hear this all the time, but I'm going to refresh the memory tonight. Royce White, I'm here in the belly of the beast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a minute.
I need you to support the broadcast financially, and I just need those of you on the fence that have never gone to theauctionstore.com to go get the Ultra Methylene Blue. I'm only going to sell something that's really good for you and works great. Because, again, a good salesman sells a product that works, and it's good, and that I use. So take the challenge. Go to theauctionstore.com now and get Ultra Methylene Blue. And it's the greatest because it's so good it hits in like 30 minutes. But the real effects happen the days and weeks as it builds up in you. The Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the bovine colostrum, that's going to take a few weeks to kick in. You get your wife pregnant, she'd have a baby for 9 months, folks. You only got to wait a few weeks with this. The effects of these are incredible. I can do hours on each product, and these are the best. You study Irish Sea Moss, you study Shilajit, you study bovine colostrum. It's all the rage forever. These are sure things. I don't go get stuff that isn't already a sure thing. It's so easy. 90% of my waking hours is doing nothing but studying and broadcasting and fighting. And I just want you to keep me commissioned in this fight. Where have you seen results like this? And it's not me. I'm not the opposite of prideful. I'm God-fearing. I fear nothing but God. I'm actually fearful of the position I've been put in by God that I'm like, you need to do a better job. It's the opposite. I'm mad at myself. The crew can tell you about the scenes. I am pissed off at myself. I am angry that I've been given so much power and I'm not executing it correctly. But God loves sudden death over time. God loves keeping you humble. When you buy from us, you're going to get a great product and you're betting on an organization that has the track record of victory. That's why the bad guys hate us. We know what we're doing. We know how to stop them. They want us off air. If I'm going to sell you something because I'm self-funded, it's going to work. You are missing out so bad if you don't get our Ultra DNA Revival new product, our incredible highest quality, the very best type of creatine gummies and powder, our bovine colostrum, all of it. 60% off right now. It ends next week. Get your orders in by tomorrow. You'll get it anywhere in the country before Christmas. But we need the support. And like I said, I'm out of money. I'm out of stuff to sell. I'm out of whatever. We have about a $400,000 underage going into next month. I mean, literally, to pay the rent and the payroll. I've got my Rolodex out. And I mean, there'll be no strings attached. But I'm starting to call people and folks saying, all right, you know, give me money. Because I ain't giving up. As much as I don't like begging for money, I give it up to the New World Order and rolling over and dying. I hate that even more. But I am literally down to the point now. My parents have lost everything they got. I don't have anything. I don't care. I'm happier than ever. I never had a bunch of stuff. But it doesn't matter when you're up against the wall and you ain't got no more to give. You understand? I'm giving you everything I got. And quite frankly, I'm more alive. I'm stronger. I'm smarter than I've ever been. In fact, I'm high as a kite in this fight. I love this. But the fact is only a fraction of our people are engaged. Oh, the Muslims are engaged. The Jews are engaged. I'm not attacking either group. You know why they're so powerful? They're engaged. They're involved in their group. Well, who are we? Well, we're Americans of every race, color, and creed that just want freedom and our country and our republic. Well, then you better start acting like it.
Wake up, folks! Spread this message! The globalist machine is tightening the chains, and they're after your freedoms.
The Podesta plan is in operation!
Don't worry, it's safe and effective. Don't you just love my GMO potatoes?
Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is unfolding before our very eyes. We must question everything.
Jones Show here, Sunday Night Live, InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and we're just talking a little history. I was saying before the break, there were three alliances, three alliances that Halford John Mackinder, British academic, warned the British Empire would disrupt their control of the Eurasian world island. A Sino Russo alliance, a Russo-German alliance, and a tyrannical or authoritarian German war machine. All three would be the ground of the next two world wars. This was back in 1905. The Geographical Pivot of History was written. If you haven't read it, you should go and read it. It's a very important academic document in history. It's really the foundations of much of our being America, but the West's geopolitical philosophy and foreign policy, it gave birth to what is known as the Atlanticist philosophy, you know, Atlanticism. And this is why your people like David Frum, who is the editor-in-chief or was the editor-in-chief of The Atlantic, say things like, can to conservatism is to conserve what is the best of liberalism. It's like, what did this guy just say? It blew my mind. I tell people this all the time, and I can't tell you how many Republicans are shocked to hear it. But you can go back and watch the 2016 Monk debate between David Frum and Steve Bannon in Toronto. And during that debate, which Steve Bannon just steamrolled David Frum in one of the most brutal fashions I've ever witnessed. But during that debate, David Frum actually said before his own Canadian audience, he's a Canadian, the point of conservatism is to conserve what is the best of liberalism. I thought to myself, well, it's no wonder the liberals been steamrolling the conservatives for the last 40 years in the Senate, in the Congress, and in D.C. Because you have conservative thought leaders that really believe the entire point of conservatism is to conserve what is the best of liberalism. And they treat it that way. That's why your intellectual thought leaders of the Republican Party and conservative movement, they treat politics as though it's all some sort of highbrow intellectual debate. And these are the same people that are apprehensive for President Trump to go max right now in this nation's darkest hour. And when Tim Pool says, there's a civil war between the MAGA and America First movement and the Romney-esque conservatives, he's 1,000% right. I didn't really see which group he said should win or anything like that. But he's framed it up properly. And I do think a Romney-esque conservatives is the best way to put it. Remember, I mean, the greatest dark mark, and this is my opinion, but you tell me out there in the audience, the greatest dark mark on the Republican Party's history in the short 21st century is that we ran Mitt Romney against the most progressive presidential candidate in American history. That Mitt Romney got the Republican Party nomination over Ron Paul. I mean, we will have trouble living that down in the Republican Party. As a Republican candidate for United States Senate here in Minnesota, proudly, not proud of what the Republican Party has done or how it operates today, but I'm proud of the idea of republicanism, the philosophy of republicanism, and the guarantee in our founding documents of a republic form of government. I'm proud that Frederick Douglass was a Republican. I'm proud that the first 23 black members of Congress were Republicans. I'm proud that I'm running on the Republican ticket. I think the Republican Party has huge, huge problems that we, the people, have to solve. And first, we have to acknowledge the history. Why on earth did we ever run Mitt Romney against Barack Obama when we could have chosen Ron Paul? I mean, it just speaks to a superficiality, even in the conservative movement. And I say it to you as honest as I can. And no offense. I know people don't want to hear that. They say, Ronald Reagan said, don't criticize conservatives. If they agree on 80% of the issues, then it's a go. Well, if one of the 20% issues is a border, unfettered, unlimited illegal immigration, or unrestricted free trade, if those issues are in the 20% we disagree on, we aren't going to be going anywhere anytime soon. It's time to call some of these Republicans out, some of these Republicans in name only, people who don't believe in limited government. If you're a globalist, you are diametrically opposed to the idea of a limited and small government. Because you can't have a limited and small government of the entire world. It doesn't work. I don't care if we have, formal jurisdiction over other people's territorial integrity, or if we are inextricably linked from them from supply chains and military security guarantees. It's all the same. It's globalism is what it is. There's globalism on the right. It's the military industrial complex. There's globalism on the left. It's, I don't know. You can call a international NGO nonprofit. We are the world sort of kumbaya. It's the same grift split two different ways. Mitt Romney over Ron Paul. You've got to be kidding me. When you look back at it, it's almost laughable. It'd be laughable if it'd be funny if it wasn't so serious. Because what it says is, even in the conservative movement, who's supposed to be the more conscientious group, the more conscientious citizens, the people who have values and they want to hold the line on certain things. It says that even we are susceptible to the superficial. Oh, look at Mitt Romney. Oh, you know, there's a strong candidate. He's got a nice, strong chin. He's got a great smile. He's got a great head of hair. He's got a good, prestigious last name that has plenty of political royalty, almost, you know, in some regards. And he says just enough of nothing to pass with everybody. He's like a master in saying just enough of nothing. That's who Mitt Romney is. And when Tim Pool says the Romney-esque conservatives are in a civil war with the MAGA and America First movement and they may win, all of our antennas should go up. How do we prevent the Romney-esque conservatives from winning? You have to go into the party. If you can hear the sound of my voice, please, in the 2026 midterms, find out where your local caucuses are and flood the caucus. This should be the number one priority. President Trump, if you can hear me, please, to prevent the revenge of the Romney-esque conservatives, all President Trump supporters, all MAGA patriots must flood the caucuses. It's not going to take that much of your time. It's not going to be that heavy of a lift. You're going to go into a room. You're going to raise your hand. You're going to say, I want to be a state central delegate, or I want to be a delegate of the state convention, or whatever the case may be. I want to be in this party. And some of you will be selected. Some of you will become alternatives. You will be initiated in the party process. Now, if you can help yourself, don't come in there with your MAGA hat. Don't come in there saying, we got to get all these rhinos out of here. Just, you know, keep some of your powder dry. There'll be time for that. But this is what Ron Paul did. Ron Paul brought a lot of people into the party. They were Ron Paul people. Some of those people have turned on us since then. Some of those people are still holding the front line in the Republican Party today, but they're going to need your help. They're going to need you. I understand. You think the elections are rigged. They are. We see the proof. You think that the two political parties are two wings of the same bird. They are. We call it the uniparty. We know that. You have the power to change it. The political here's the gaffe, and we all have to understand this. Politics is done by the people who show up. The great mastery of the uniparty and the globalists is that they've conducted party business in a place where you didn't know the time or place. They conducted party business where you didn't know the time or place. It's done under the cover of night. Ask yourselves, do you know when your state convention is? If you're a conservative or a Republican or a libertarian or a patriot or MAGA or America First, ask yourself, do you even know when your Republican Party state convention is? If the answer is no, it's hard for me to listen to you complain about the rhino candidates you get, because I've actually been in the room looking around hoping that there are enough of us on that specific day to get me endorsed to run against ultra left wing Amy Klobuchar. In this case, it's going to be for Tina Smith Seton and Peggy Flanagan and or Angie Craig or whoever else they put up. And here's the second half. Here's the second side of that coin. Let's say in 2012, we put up a Ron Paul instead of Mitt Romney and we lost. Let's say the American people just didn't find Ron Paul tall enough or good looking enough or charming enough or moderate enough on the most important issues. Now we have a basis of a real political movement. Now we've sorted ourselves. And the next order of business is to refine our political message and platform to be more palatable with the truth to the people who we need to understand the fundamentals. That is the political philosophy we have to embrace now. not let's see how soft we can go on the issues and try to sneak our way by the Democrats. Maybe enough moderates and independents and disaffected Democrats will vote for us if we just stay away from borders and illegal immigration, because that's too hot of an issue. Is it really a hot issue? I don't think so. And if it is, we have to do we have to completely rebuild the fundamental philosophy of our people in this country. And we do have to do that. And I think we've gotten a slow start on that, to be quite honest. I think the two places we should go, Max, and I mean tomorrow, with no fear or equivocation whatsoever, the two places we should go, Max, are in our schools and with the integrity of our elections. Go, Max. It's not tyrannical to say every public school in this country will lose their federal funding if they don't reintroduce the industrial arts, if they don't reintroduce basic American civics and philosophy, if we don't have a renaissance of our young people in the education system, we will have conceded the entirety of Generation Z to a lunatic transgender ideology. And there's no hope for the future. I mean, seriously, we just gotta be honest about it. We can argue and circle the wagons all we want on all of these issues. If we give the future of our nation to a transgenderfied Generation Z, it's over. It's over. You know, our national mortal enemy banned transgender content on the internet. And you could say, hey, that's an overreach. I mean, that's a step too far. We don't believe in that type of authoritarianism or totalitarianism like they do in China. But we believe in it enough to still do business with them. We believe in it enough to still get our lug nuts for our vital, fighter jets and military equipment. We believe in it enough to, let's say, continue to order the nice cocktail dress from Shein. We love a good cocktail dress from Shein, don't we, ladies? Okay? And that's all good. I get it. I understand. But hey, ladies, can we strike this deal? Let's strike this deal if we can. You continue to buy all of your meaningless products from the CCP, okay? Whether it's makeup or cheap clothes or electronics or, you know, phone cases or whatever the case may be. You continue to buy all your cheap goods from China. Fair play. Please let us educate our children the way the Chinese do so we can win a war that's on the horizon. Please, can you let us do that, ladies? Women out there, I don't mean to sound misogynistic. If I do, I apologize. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. Buy all the cheap Chinese goods you want, but can you please afford us the opportunity to educate your children in a way that will ready them to win the war for their freedom so that your sons and daughters can buy cheap Chinese goods if they desire. They won't have to under the sword of Damocles. I mean, I don't even think people really know how serious it is. We are in the beginnings of the Third World War. We're already deeper into the kinetic part of the Third World War than we were in the precursor for World War II. And that's as honest as I can be. The kinetic part of World War III is already hotter than it was in the precursors for World War II. Now, what we hope is that cooler heads will prevail, the rise of technology and the benefits, luxury of modernity will be a deterrent for full-scale kinetic war, but we don't know that. We don't know that. The future rests upon the edge of a blade. We all feel that. We can sense that. We have that intuition that we're right on the edge. The skirmish there in the Middle East was just an appetizer. Seriously, just an appetizer. playing chicken out there in the South China Sea, that's the full course meal. And we're getting right up on the edge of it. We are in an asymmetrical war with China. There's no doubt about it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's what it is. We're in an information war. We're in a culture war. We're in a biological war. That's why it's so great that President Trump deemed fentanyl, a weapon of mass destruction. Absolutely. 1,000%. These are the things. And I ask myself, like, what kind of person does a Democrat have to be to see President Trump make a federal or an executive declaration on fentanyl and say, man, that guy's full of it. He's not a good president. He's not a good man. He's not doing a good job. Because President Biden had, you know, all the opportunity to stop the flow of fentanyl from the CCP right here. And they don't care. These people will just as soon kill you as watch you die. They'll kill you just as soon as they'll watch you die. They don't care. That's what Dr. Fauci represents. A lack of care. A lack of care presented as infinite care. That's who Dr. Fauci is. He embodies an institutional lack of care of the American people. But he wraps it in a presentation of infinite care. We care about you so much. We care about you all so much. We are going to experiment with highly lethal, highly contagious pathogens. We are going to enhance viruses. And on the off chance one of these workers at a level 4 bio lab in Wuhan gets a little too close to the product or has a little spilsy there in Wuhan, that's just a risk we all have to take in the name of science. Oh, science is so good, isn't it? Don't you all love your science? Don't you all love your salt from the Dead Sea they sell at the kiosk in the middle of the mall that instantly takes away the wrinkles, ladies? Let me say this. I don't need any salt from the Dead Sea. I don't need any Dead Sea salt. I'm okay without the Dead Sea salt. I love a good avocado. Don't get me wrong. But if the price is too high on avocados, I'll be passing on the avocados. We don't need avocados. I know everybody loves a good piece of avocado toast. I'm not saying it's not delicious. It's delicious. It's scrumptious. It is. I'm not saying it isn't. But at what cost? At what cost is the question? So do we need the entire world's food? I mean, we're so, you know, just give me a piece of beef every day. Just give me a steak. Give me a steak. Give me a few tomatoes I can grow in my own garden. Give me an apple. Apple grow out there on the tree. If it really comes to that, to save the country. See, but then the liberals will get on MSNBC and they'll tell you, well, I mean, yeah, we could do tariffs, but the price of avocados have gone through the roof. It's just like, come on. Come on, Rachel. Really? Did you just tell the American people we should give up our sovereignty to an international cabal of globalists because of the price of avocados? And they are. They will say it. They say it right up in your face. The problem with it is the Mitt Romneys aren't too far away. They're not too far off the same beaten path. But you get them in the right room, the right time during campaign season. They got the right suit, the right smile, the right message of just enough of nothing. And people will say, there's a strong candidate. He's electable. Mitt Romney, he's electable. Mitt Romney, he's, he has a moderate message. He can appeal to the middle. Electable. The word you should hear and fear, like the Black Plague, electable. What does electable mean? In American culture, electable means a politician who knows how to say just enough of nothing to appeal to people who don't even understand the dangers they're really facing. That's what electable has come to mean in American culture. And that's how we ended up with the most progressive president in the history of the United States of America, responsible for the greatest transfer of wealth to the top 0.01% in the history of human civilization. And on the other side, we had milquetoast Mitt Romney. That was his opponent. Look, I think Barack Obama is a very smart individual. I think he's a good man. I respect him and his family, and he's a good father, and we should all play nice. We're not playing nice anymore, Mr. Mitt Romney. You go over, give your Republican card back, and you go ahead and you caucus with the communists. You commie sellout. I almost went there. If you watch the, I don't even know if I can use profanity here on InfoWars. I don't think I can. It's not my show to do. But I have some choice words. You watch my podcast, I go full profanity on Please Call Me Crazy. And there's a word that starts with a C and it ends with an R. Starts with a C, it ends with an R. It's a little sexual innuendo, okay? And that's who Mitt Romney is. He's a commie. They're communists. They're communists and they're globalists. Communists and globalists, they go together like, I don't know, like tomato and lettuce, like ketchup and mustard, like peanut butter and jelly. We put Mitt Romney, bring the picture back up of him. I want the American people to see. Bringing the shot back up of Mitt Romney while we go out here this last minute of the first hour of tonight's show. Bring this picture up of Mitt Romney again if you can there in the studio. There you go. See that, guys? That's the prototype of the Republican Party. We love this guy. We can't get enough of him. You know, in our mind, he's perfect. He's a perfect puppet for the agenda that has sold you down the river, that has brought this nation to its knees. Our nation is on her knees. We're fighting, clawing, scraping to survive. We better not put up another Mitt Romney anywhere across the country. The primaries need to come fast and furious for the 2026 midterms. You're watching Alex Jones Show here on InfoWars. I'm your guest host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We got another hour left. We'll be right back in a moment.
I didn't plug last hour because I've been so focused on the news. If I don't plug, we won't be here because I'm not funded by the Qataris or the Israelis or the Russians or the Jews or the Easter bunnies. I am funded by you. So I'm going to sell you products that really work so you want them. Now, we got two different flavors, Fruit Punch and then Freedom Mango. I didn't name this. It's a very, it looks like a firecracker. It's a beautiful cover. Ultimate power. How about unlimited power? Emperor Palpatine. But it really is a pre-workout, post-workout, Turbo Force 2.0. I mean, this is seriously powerful, super high quality. Everything it does for your body is next level. Ignites mental clarity and focus, cleans, sustain energy, enhance blood flow and endurance, supports daily cognitive function. L-citrulline converts to L-arginine. Don't know what that does. We got the best formula of it. It's amazing. L-theanine, relax, wake up, clarity and focus. Natural caffeine from coffee concentrated. Vitamin B12, the highest quality, B6 and more. This is really strong. If you love Turbo Force, you're going to love Ultimate Power. We should call it Unlimited Power. I remember Palpatine on the cover. The point is that it funds the operation. I said, hey, we need a clone of this product or make it better for their store. And they said, okay, this is what they came out with. I've been on them for a year to do this. It's really strong, tiny little scoop. This thing, by the way, is heavy. This is like a whole bunch of servings, like a couple months worth. So get yours now. I like the Fruit Punch flavor. And by the way, today's one of the last days where you can get 60% off on Ultra Methylene Blue, Irish Sea Moss, Shilajit, and more at thealexjonesshow.com. Thanks for your support. Hour number four is straight ahead.
Oh, oh, oh.
Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. Your host, Morris White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it's an honor. It's an honor to host another Sunday Night Live show. I appreciate all of the InfoWars audience. I see your feedback from being on the show. People say, oh, host every Sunday. Every Sunday I can. Every Sunday the great Alex Jones allows me to. Yeah, nobody can do it the way Alex Jones does it. But I sure am honored to give it a shot. And if these are the kind of things that we should look for, like name another United States Senate candidate that would be caught dead hosting 2 hours on InfoWars. They're not going to do it. And that tells you everything you need to know about them. Oh, Alex Jones, he's too controversial. Oh, Alex Jones, InfoWars. Oh, too much conspiracy. We know the people who are telling the truth, who are even perusing, even scratching the surface of the truth. We know the people who are willing to ask the tough questions and investigate the tough issues. We know the people who are willing to propose the tough answers for tough questions that the American citizens are interested in. I mean, truly interested in. Alex Jones has been fighting for 25, 30 years just to move the needle slightly enough for a guy like President Trump to even have a chance by saying the most common sense things. And for that, we owe him a great, great debt. A debt I can't pay back by doing 2 hours on InfoWars from now until the day I die. The debt is unquantifiable. It really is. I really see it that way. I don't know how everybody else sees it, but I see it that way, honestly. Honestly. We all owe Alex Jones a great debt. He pushed the conversation by himself to a place, a corner of the ring that many were unwilling to go, so that a guy like President Trump even stood a chance in this nation's darkest hour. And we actually won. We actually won the narrative. Was the final tally of the votes accurate? Probably not. Probably not. Some votes seem that they went missing there in from 2020 to 2024. And I said it after 2024. They let him win. They let President Trump win. They didn't want to spoil the last bit of integrity that the institutions had left. So they let him win. They knew the entire world was watching. They read the tea leaves. They knew that President Trump had won the narrative, that the MAGA and America First movement had won the narrative. Basic questions, common sense questions like, why are we sending billions of dollars to Ukraine when we don't even have clean drinking water in Flint, Michigan? They knew that the narrative was too strong, was too palpable to pull the same cheating move they pulled in 2020. They let them win. And the first order of business is, how do we get another Senate majority leader like Mitch McConnell who can slow walk President Trump's second term? Slow walk the agenda in President Trump's second term. I know. We'll get institutionalist from South Dakota, John Thune. Can we bring up a picture of John Thune, please, there in the studio? Give me a picture, John. We got a minute before the break here. We have a second hour. I'm guest hosting. We're going to get a picture of John Thune up here because it's just apropos to what I'm saying. There's like an archetype in the Republican Party. Obviously, I'm not it. I mean, you look at me. Do I look like a politician at all? I certainly don't look like a prototypical Republican. There he is, John Thune. Good middle American white man. He's got all of his hair. He's got a nice strong chin. And he's just courageous enough to knife you in the back as soon as he gets the first opportunity. But bring up Mike Johnson. Bring up Speaker Johnson. Bring that picture back up if you can. Go ahead. Speaker Johnson. There's another one. Good, great Southern draw. Got that legalese lawyer speak. Another good set of hair. Decent looking guy. A little shorter than your average. But still passes the sniff test. And we all say, oh, look at these strong candidates. They're so strong. They're so strong that their back is non-existent. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking about the prototype of political puppets in America. Stay tuned.
challenging all of you to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds, we are in the red, and we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products and a whole bunch of other sales and deals. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and it reorders every month and get 50% off on all future orders. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com.
Unveiling the truth they don't want you to see. This is the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday Night Live. I'm your guest host for the rest of the hour. Royce White, I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we're talking about the prototype of political puppets in America. Bring up the picture, John Thune, again. I can't get enough of it. I just can't. This is why I'm running for United States Senate. Guys like this, Steve Daines. Can we get a picture of Steve Daines up there next? I just want to run down the list of these guys, if we can, and just show you the prototype that they put in front of you. And we all go, oh, what's happened to this country? Oh, this country's in such dire straits. How did it happen? How did the country get so bad? How did the country go off the rails the way it has? This is how. This is how. They tell you these people are strong candidates. They can appeal to the moderates. We have to win elections. The only way to change the country is to win. Well, you could, in fact, win against all odds like we did in 2024, then go max, do away with the pleasantries, and just have some righteous confidence about what needs to happen in this country. We all know what needs to happen. And let's just do it. Not to worry about public approval. Steve Daines, when you guys get a chance there in the studio, give me a picture of Steve Daines of Montana. The NRSC, again, you guys got to understand how politics really works. The NRSC is made up of U.S. Senate. There he is. Running dog of Mitch McConnell, Steve Daines. As the great Steve Bannon said, Steve Daines is Mitch McConnell's B-I-T-C-H. And I like that kind of talk. That's the kind of talk we'll be bringing to the United States Senate, the most deliberative body in the world. It's deliberative. It's deliberative, all right. No doubt about it. The United States Senate is the most deliberative body in the world. It is deliberately selling you out. They're very deliberate in their policy. They're very deliberate in their governance. They're very deliberate in their role as puppets. They know exactly what they're doing. It's, you know, if I put on a suit and a tie, I can convince the average American citizen that I'm competent, that I'm educated, and I'm competent. And I know what's best for the American people. I will do what's in the best interest of the American people. Steve Daines, John Thune, Tim Scott. Tim Scott again. Tim, I don't like Tim Scott. I'm just going to tell you guys. I'm going to say it honest. I don't like any of, I can only name a handful of United States senators, even on the Republican side, that I have any taste for whatsoever. Any taste. Only a handful. Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Decent. I like him. You know, see some votes and some things and I scratch my head still. Tuberville. Like him. Like him. Senator Rand Paul. Sometimes, for sure. Sometimes. But I also think he's got a little personal beef with President Trump as well. And that goes all the way back to, you know, Rand running in 2016 and President Trump and him having, you know, words and whatnot. And, you know, it just, it's all sort of, it's all real prissy to me. You know, a lot, some of it gets prissy. Some of it's just straight puppetry. And then you got the prissy part. Then you got the gossip and like the in crowd and there's all these little factions and it's just, you know, there's so much going on in American politics. Aren't you guys ready just to have a guy in the U.S. Senate that says, here's what it is. Here are the balls and strikes. This guy's a sellout. This guy's a sellout. This guy's a sellout. This guy's a sellout. But that only works if the people in their respective state will vote them out. I was reading a poll the other day that said something like 67% of American citizens are happy with the job that their local Congress member is doing, whether they're in the congressional district or their senator, that, you know, an overwhelming majority of American citizens feel happy with the person they voted for from their state. Their person from their state's doing a good job. It's like an iteration of professional sports. It's like, well, you know, this is my team, the Minnesota Vikings. You know, they're stinking it up this year, but that's my team. It's like, excuse me? No, they're terrible. The truth is the truth. The Minnesota Vikings are stinking it up this year. And all of us Minnesota Vikings fans hate to see it, and we hate to say it, but it is what it is. It's the same for a lot of you for the respective Congress member that you voted for, Republican or not. Stinking it up. Stinking it up in the U.S. Senate right now. Stinking the whole place to hell. There they are. These are Republican senators right here. I think these are your Republican senators, if I'm not mistaken. And there are a few in there. These are your Republican Congress members. There are a few in there. Don't get me wrong. You know, love me some Lauren Boebert. Love Anna Paula Luna. Eli Crane's a good one. You know, I like Eli Crane. There's some people in there I'm going to miss, you know, that I'm missing. There's some good ones in there. Don't get me wrong. There are. Marsha Blackburn is another one who, you know, she'll put it on the line. She'll say it like it is sometimes. But you just get the feeling that by and large, there's something happening in the Congress and in the Senate that's intended to look away, but it's something else. You know, we all get that sense in, as the American people, and we feel unempowered to really do anything about it because once we vote these people into office, we've chosen for them to represent us and for them to act in our interests. And if they fail because of incompetence or circumstance or whatever the case may be, it's kind of like, well, they tried. You know, they're doing the best they can. Politics is complicated. It ain't that complicated, ladies and gentlemen. America first, America first, America first. Americans come first. It ain't that complicated. It really isn't. America has got the shit end of the stick for too long. It's time to put America first. That's all. It's not complicated. We're not going to send another penny to the Ukraine. We better not send another. I don't even want to send another bullet. I'm not even into this whole, well, we can sell them arms. You know, we'll sell them weapons. All business is good business. All money ain't good money. Where I'm from in the neighborhood, we say all money ain't good money. All business ain't good business. And it ain't good business for us to be sending any more bullets over there to Ukraine. Ukraine's got to determine Ukraine's future. Ukraine's got to determine the destiny of Ukraine. Europe has to determine the destiny of Europe. They have 500 million citizens in Europe. Come on together and do what you got to do. You want to fight a knockdown, drag out war with the Russians? You do it. Don't be calling us. We don't want to talk to you. We don't want to be involved in the bloodlands there. We don't want to be in a war in the bloodlands. We want no part of it. At least the America First and MAGA movement, well, much of the MAGA movement, some of the MAGA movement still gum-dipped in boomer, you know, boomer powder, baby boomer powder, gum-dipped in baby boomer powder, a lot of even in the MAGA movement. Well, you know, Vladimir Putin is... excuse me. The British Empire has been fighting a war with the Russian Empire since the early 1800s. This is a blood feud between two neighboring people that has nothing to do with the vital interest of America or the American people. Europe is Europe, and we have to, it's even like the strange romanticism we have with the royal family. Every time there's some huge event with the royal family and American media is like, you know, teary-eyed, I just ask myself, what is going on here? This is so strange. It's like, you know, God bless the queen. God save the king. Who's king? Who's king or queen are you talking about? I don't know who you're referring to. I only know one king. Christ is king. Christ, Jesus Christ is king. I love when the Boston Celtics head coach, Joe Mazzulla, was asked about the royal family attending the Boston Celtics games. And there's that, you know, that great clip. And he's in the press conference after, and he goes, who, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? Would Jesus, Mary, and Joseph showed up to the game tonight? You know, I you can't see the media because the camera's on him, but I can just imagine if you swung those cameras around, you know, about half of the room would be smiling because they get the, you know, they get the humor in it. But the other half of the crowd, the media would be scowling at their rejection of Christianity. And the proposition that an NBA basketball coach of all people would profess his faith, his submission, his loyalty to his Christian faith or to our Christian Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only king. What do I care about the royal family? Even that is a part of this Atlanticist propaganda. It's like when I hear people say the Commonwealth or even the West, you'll hear a lot of these conservative thought leaders like, what's the guy's name? He had the debate with Dave Smith. I'm forgetting his name. You guys know him. He's a very British guy. Yeah, he's very British, very articulate, you know, very sharp, very British. And I hear people talk, you know, they create this political conversation that talks about the West. It's like, even with Islam, it's like Islam is incompatible with the West. I don't care if Islam, the Europeans have to decide whether or not they're going to let Islam overrun their continent or their countries. And, you know, we wish them well, of course. We wish them Godspeed in their fight to stop the rise of Islam on their shores and in their countries. For sure, we're not saying that we wish them, a negative outcome, because we don't. We don't wish bad upon our Western brothers and sisters, but we certainly aren't going to go into the abyss with them. We're certainly not going to let the Yuval Noah Hararis pull us into the abyss based on our Western or Commonwealth identity. Oh, no. We will not be going with you. You want to give your countries to Muhammad? Then you do that. But we won't be doing it here in America, and we're trying our damnedest not to do it here in Minneapolis. Mogadishu, the belly of the beast. And I tell all the Somali citizens that I meet, all the Somali residents I meet here in the state of Minnesota on the campaign trail, hey, you want to assimilate? You believe in this country and our foundational values? You believe in citizenship? You believe in free speech? by all means, you're here legally, you can stay. But as soon as you start talking that Sharia law shit, ain't going to be no Sharia law here in Minnesota or America or anywhere else in this country. Not doing Sharia law. That's just it. Simple. It's not difficult. Not complicated. Not hard for me to say. I'm running for United States Senate here in the state of Minnesota. We have 100,000 plus Somalis. Would I gladly take their vote if they believe in this country? Absolutely. Absolutely. I think I can convert some Muslims. As a Christian, you have to believe that you can convert some Muslims. I certainly can convert some immigrants from another country on why America's foundational values are good, useful. I certainly can do that. I have to believe that as well. I have to believe I can take the Bible and the Constitution and convert me some people, some non-believers. And I don't fear that. I don't fear walking into a room and telling a bunch of Somali Muslims, hey, you better get on board with America's foundational values. You better understand them. You better be trying to assimilate and really buy into the American dream, or go on ahead back to Somalia. Like I said on the show last time, the answer to Somalia isn't in Minneapolis, it's in Somalia. And a lot of Somali citizens love their heritage and their culture much deeper than we do here in America. We're willing to give our culture away to, you know, invading forces. The Somali people take their culture with them wherever they go. They're not willing to give it up so easy. And that says something about the affection they have toward their country, toward their homeland, toward their history and their people. And I respect that. You want to keep your language? You want to keep your clothing and your regalia? You want to keep your food and your customs? I respect that. How about we make Somalia a place that you want to live? It's the same thing I tell black people. Why is it that all these black people get a little bit of money and the first thing they do is move away from other black people? I'll tell you why. Because it's dangerous in the black community. Real dangerous. Instead of asking white people to give us everything, how about we make, instead of asking white people to let us live where they live, how about we make the black community a place where other people would want to live? How about we make the black community a place where black people want to live? Not where they have to live or need to live or they can only afford to live. I mean, where they really would want to live. Like if they could choose to live anywhere in the world, and I could go to Abu Dhabi or the United Arab Emirates. So I could go to Saudi Arabia and let the prince poo-poo on me for a few 15,000 pounds and whatnot. Okay. I could do that, or I could go live on the south side of Minneapolis. I'd like to live on the south side of Minneapolis, but you have to build, and you just can't do that when you spend $6 trillion in Afghanistan teaching the little Afghani girls about birth control and the liberation of the women's workforce. It just doesn't work. The single mothers, the single black mothers in the black communities all across the country were sold down the river when we spent $6 trillion trying to teach liberation philosophy to the Afghan women. And I'll tell you why it was a scam. Not only did we not have any business doing it in the first place, but it didn't work. It didn't work. Just didn't work. The Afghan people chose the Taliban when push came to shove. People argue with that and say, well, they did it out of fear. Well, that's an indictment of them, sorry to say. Because I guarantee you the day when the communists really get enough balls to go full-blown totalitarianism in the streets, and I mean they almost got there during COVID. They were right up on the edge, weren't they? The communists were right up on the edge of going full-blown totalitarianism. They said, ah, if you're unvaccinated, we're going to lock you in your home. Ooh. I triple dog dare you. You thought you had a problem with insurgency. You thought that you had a problem with insurgency in the Middle East? You thought you had a problem with insurgency there in Iraq? You go on ahead and you try and lock us in our homes if we don't want to take experimental vaccines, and you're going to have a problem with insurgency right here in America. Because that's what our founding fathers demanded. That's what our founding fathers designed. And for some reason, you know, they always hit you with the three-card Monty. Oh, don't be calling for violence. The call for violence is to demand that we go into our homes or be locked in our homes if we don't take a vaccine. I didn't take a COVID vaccine. As a matter of fact, here's a new litmus test for the United States Senate. Let's just ask which candidates were vaccinated and which ones weren't. There's a great starting point. And I say that, obviously, I got President Trump's cereal box here. And I believe that President Trump took the vaccine. And I disagree with that. But that's his personal choice. And I disagree with, with a lot of things regarding vaccines. And I'm not saying that to to be dissenting or undermine the president. No, I'm just a blue-blooded American, and I think what I think. I am who I am. Not taking a COVID vaccine. Not then, not now, not ever. You could hit me with the homosexual monkeypox, and people could be running around with huge biblical lesions on their face, and I'm still not taking the vaccine. Sorry. Ain't gonna happen. Captain. Ain't gonna happen. You could unleash as many, pandemic viruses as you want in this country. I'm still not taking that vaccine. But I do think we should be asking our candidate, hey, were you vaccinated? Did you take the COVID vaccine? But it's hard for us to do that because so many people, even in the Republican Party, took the COVID vaccine. Why? A lot of the Republican Party, and I mean the actual party, is, in the senior age demographic. And so they were more afraid, and rightfully so, than other demographics of people. So a lot of our elderly people were intimidated into taking a vaccine that now, looking back, didn't need to take. But I do think a lot of people are triple vaxxed. And I don't think that it helped the crisis of common sense that we already had in this country. If there's a place where the nanotechnology of the experimental vaccine is working, it's probably on the frontal lobe. We're all talking about the sterilization of it. It's like, oh, you're finding the residue in the ovaries and in the testicles. It's probably right there in your frontal lobe, breaking that brain barrier and working on your frontal lobe. I don't know. Because people seem dumber than they've ever been. Yeah, we're waking up slowly. I mean, but we're like two generations behind. Alex Jones has been saying this stuff for 30 years. We're just finally warming up to it. But we still vote for John Thune. You tell me what's going on. I don't know. You tell me. Maybe it's the aliens. We'll be right back on the other side of the break. You got me for another 30 minutes here on Sunday Night Live, InfoWars, The Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot do this without you. You're the reason we're here. You're our sponsor. You are what keeps us on air. And we are launching today through the 23rd of December, the final days of Christmas sale at thealexjonesstore.com. 60% off on our best-selling ultramethylene blue, Irish sea moss gummies, and Shilajit gummies, and more. If you haven't tried our ultramethylene blue that is the strongest, best out there that we found, bar none, you're crazy. What it does for your mitochondria, your energy, your stamina, with no letdown, is insane. It's so good for you. Just research the studies. We have medical grade. We have the best. And you've seen all our guests and others that come in here, and they're just blown away by it, including those who are already taking methylene blue. They're like, wow, this is way stronger, way better. It's amazing. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging everybody to support the broadcast, keep us on air while you get great products, and it's a win-win. We need funds. We are in the red. I met with accountants this morning. Not too bad, but we're there. And we've got to be able to continue our legal battles. We've got to be able to continue to buy a new product going in the future. We've got to continue with the funding to build the Alex Jones backup network in case they're able to shut us down. I cannot do it without you. So now is the time to go to thealexjonesstore.com and do your final Christmas shopping there. Anywhere in the United States, if you order by Friday, you will get it before Christmas. So get your orders in now. Do your Christmas shopping with us, but really give yourself the gift of health with our creatine gummies, the highest quality type of creatine, 5 milligrams. That's a daily serving per gummy. Huge container of them. Such a great deal. This is the best creatine out there. There's so many other great products. You can become a subscriber right now on any product, cancel any time, and get 50% off on all future orders in perpetuity until you decide to cancel. The widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, ball caps, sweaters, many of them limited edition, over 700 designs at thealexjonesstore.com. So my challenge to all of you is this. Get a bottle of ultramethylene blue for 60% off right now, and then you're going to be blown away and reorder it. You've heard all the people call in with their testimonials. This is the real deal. The best salesmen sell the best products. I promote and sell freedom. I promote and sell stopping the globalists. You know my information is the most accurate out there. Why on earth would you think that I would tell you this will change your life? The Shilajit, the Irish Sea Moss, the bovine colostrum, ultimate life force, spike protein, cardiovascular detox. All these are kick-butt products. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Please do your Christmas shopping there. We need your support. It's a win-win for everybody. You keep this operation. It's a true thorn on the side of the globals on the air. And separately, the classic nitric boost. Dr. Judy Mikovits, you know, I didn't know she knew about it. She bought it. So this is the best formula for your heart and for spike protein and for everything else. And men notice it in the morning when they wake up. It is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com exclusively. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost. All of you need these products. Take action now.
Whoa, dude, is that methylene blue? This house really knows me.
Oh, wow, Shilajit gummies. I gotta hide these from Melania. She loved them bigly. These sure taste great, and they're good for me, too. You can buy me now at thealexjonesstore.com.
Ho, 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 ho! Merry Christmas!
Alex Jones live, the Alex Jones Show live on Sunday night, InfoWars. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'm running for United States Senate. Tina Smith has a seat that she has resigned from, won't be running for re-election in 2026. If you get the chance, go to my website, RoyceWhite.us, which I barely pitch. I don't do a good job. Alex Jones is the greatest at pitching the site and the store and the websites and the whole nine. I'm an amateur. If InfoWars was under my stewardship, it wouldn't have survived because I always forget the important information, you know, monologuing and whatnot. But RoyceWhite.us, my U.S. Senate site. Make sure that you go and find out about the caucuses in Minnesota if you get the chance. Visit the store. We got some pretty decent merchandise. On the Jesus is King is the one piece of merchandise that I'll promote and encourage people. Get your Jesus is King t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, whatever the case may be, coffee mugs and whatnot. And I'm running for United States Senate for one reason, because the United States Senate is the place where legislation gets passed. It is the conduit to legislative progress, for lack of a better term, legislative mission in this country. And we have got to get a hold of the United States Senate. Now, people ask me all the time, What are you going to do? You're going to be one man out of 100. Well, I think that, listen, there. I don't want to be, you know, doom and gloom here. There are a handful of United States senators that I have some respect for. There are. We can change American politics if we show up. If we resign from the process, if we abnegate our responsibility or role in the process, we might as well stop complaining. Just go live your life. Have fun. Find a beautiful corner of the country and find something you like. Hopefully somebody you like, your family, and you live out the rest of your days hoping that the worst doesn't come to pass. That's one option. That's one way to go about it. And I fear a lot of our Christian Americans, our Christian brothers and sisters in America have selected that option. So, you know, I get it. I get it if that's the route you want to go. I really do. Or you can show up and be involved in the process. Be involved in the process. Politics is done by the people who show up. That's why I'm showing up to run for United States Senate. Do I think that I can change 100 sellout United States senators? No, I'm not going to be able to change them. Money is one of the greatest motivators of all time. I'm not going to be able to change them. I can speak the truth, though. I can do that, and I do that pretty well. I will stand up in the United States Senate and say, here are the issues. Here is the truth. These are the balls and strikes. I can do that for you. I can look you, the American people, in the face and say, here are the people that you need to vote out in your state. And for some reason, we still view U.S. Senate state races as state races and not national races. A vote in the U.S. Senate is a vote for the American people writ large. It's not a vote for the people from your state. Can't tell you how many people I meet in Minnesota and go, well, what are you going to do for Minnesota? What am I going to do for Minnesota? The entire country is on the brink of destruction. What am I going to do for America? That is the question. And will Minnesota, get benefit from the overall rise or direction, positive direction of the country? That's the way we have to look at these races, these Senate races. Hell, that's the way you have to look at your Congress races, your House races. Now, the House has a much bigger body, so, you know, different. One person in the House, but man, one United States Senate. And let me say this as well, because this idea has been floated. And I think there's some people working on this. And I would love to collaborate with you. If you get a hold of me, I'm willing to work with you. You don't have to get a majority in the Senate. You just have to get the margin of swing for a majority to have control or a fair bit of power in the U.S. Senate. Say we have 10 America Firsters, 15, 20, enough to swing the majority in either direction. That's power. That's power. Not the conventional power, not the power we would like, but we don't deal with things the way that we wish they were. We deal with them the way that they are. Gonna be a while until we get a 60 seat majority for America First in the United States Senate. It's gonna be a while. Gonna be a couple billion dollars before we can get that done. Unless we flood the caucuses in 2026. And we start there and we primary every United States senator who can't confidently say that they're America First. And maybe we don't win. Maybe the Mitt Romney-esque conservatives prevail, but they will be put on notice. In Minnesota, we've already prevailed against the Mitt Romney-esque Republican establishment. That's why they hate me. That's why you don't see me on Fox News. Truth be told. Oh, Gutfeld and all of them. Oh, they don't like Ultra MAGA Royce White from Minnesota. Oh, they can't stand Royce White from Minnesota. You mean that young 34-year-old black guy who spews all those conspiracy theories about the Jews? You mean that Royce White? Anti-Semite Royce White? I'm not anti-Semitic. I don't have any hatred towards anybody. Don't have any hatred towards the Jews. But I can say there's a Jewish lobby. And the Jewish lobby hasn't sent me one single dollar. And I like it that way. I like it that way. We're going to keep it like that. We're going to keep it right there in the center of the road. Hey, AIPAC, don't send me your money because I'm sending it back. Or hey, if you do send me your money, understand that it will come with no strings that Israel has any preferential treatment if I get to the United States Senate. If you're okay with that, send me all the money you like. Please, I'll take it. As long as there are no strings attached. If there are no strings attached, please send me your money. But you can go check my, I think somebody on Grok just pulled this, asked this question earlier today. Has Royce taken any money from AIPAC or any other PACs? And the answer is no. All my money in my political career has come from individual donors. Go figure. One of the very few United States Senate candidates in the country that was able to win a statewide primary, 34 years old, checks all the boxes, knows the issues backwards and forwards like the back of his own hand, and can command them with the best of anybody in the country, let alone other Senate candidates, doesn't even get invited on Fox News. You think that's by accident? I can't even believe people still watch Fox News, honestly. The great Steve Bannon says it best, Fox News is for stupid people. And it is. You know, they're trying to, you know, reel it in and paint the edges of the plate. Yeah. What else can they do? But we don't forget. We'll never forget who the first people were to call the election in 2020, the rigged election in 2020. We'll never forget. We'll never forget and we'll never forgive. You won't catch me on Fox News. And that's okay. That's completely fine with me. The question is, if we need the Fox Newses of the world to get Republican candidates elected or to get them, you know, raising a good fair amount of money, then that's an indictment of us, the American people, the conservative movement, the Republican Party, Republicans all across this country. If we need Fox News to tell us who our candidates are, we got problems. And oh, was Michelle Tafoya on Gutfeld the other day, Greg Gutfeld the other day? I think I heard that Michelle Tafoya was on Greg Gutfeld the other day. You think that's by accident? Honestly, it's like right up in your face. They put it right up in your face. Oh, Michelle Tafoya is a great candidate. Very good looking, long time in the conservative commentators, used to play, you know, used to do sideline sports, and she's just lukewarm enough on pro-life. And she's just kind of milquetoast on President Trump. And I bet if we asked her about her Second Amendment views, we would find that she's just as milquetoast there as well. In fact, I saw an infographic from a Minnesota community survey that said 67% of Minnesotans that they surveyed were in favor of banning assault rifles. You understand the problem I have with getting elected here in the state of Minnesota? People always say, you should move to another state. Move to a Republican state. Move to Oklahoma. Move to Texas. Move to North Dakota. Move to, you know, one of these MAGA states. Move to Florida. Run there. You don't abandon your post. You don't abandon your post. You don't abandon your home. Minnesota is my home. The Twin Cities is my home. I was born and raised here. You fight. Because if you don't, if you run, if you flee, you look up and the governor, the communist governor of the state that you fled from ends up being vice president or president. Tim Walz, for example, all my snowbirds that moved there to Florida. No offense to you. I understand. the winters in sunny Florida are much better than Minnesota. I get it. Plus the income tax is a pretty good deal as well. I understand. All I'm saying is, if you flee for the wrong reasons, you look up and the thing comes to bite you in the butt anyway. Imagine moving out of Minnesota to some red state, and then all of a sudden Tim Walz is a heartbeat away from the presidency. And that's how it happens. So we're holding the line here in Minnesota. I told Mike Lindell, the great Mike Lindell, running for Minnesota governor, we're holding the right in Minnesota. We have to hold the right. We have to hold the Republican Party. We have to build a platform. We have to build a future for this state from the right. And it's not one of, well, did you win the election or not? Here's a good litmus test. If you're a Republican out there, especially in a state like Minnesota, and you believe that our elections are secure, you're not a Republican. Or you're not our kind of Republican. You're not MAGA. You're not America First. You might be a Mitt Romney Republican, but Mitt Romney threw him with the communists. So, I mean, how Republican are you really? In this nation's darkest hour, Mitt Romney threw in with the communists. So the fact that there's even a Mitt Romney, a Romney-esque conservative movement left is embarrassing, to say the very least. It's embarrassing. We're not going anywhere. We're going to hold the right. Got to be involved in the process. 2026 has to be the year. 2024 was the year that people got off of the bench and into the game. 2026 has to be the year that people get precise, laser sharp with their strategic involvement. Understand how the process actually works. Go into caucuses in February. If you're in Minnesota or anywhere else in the country, you have to go into the Republican Party caucuses. The same way Ron Paul brought people into the caucuses when he ran during the Ron Paul movement. Some of the Ron Paul folks have gone a little soft They've forgotten. They've left. They've quit. And I understand why. Some of them because, well, how on earth did we put Mitt Romney up? Come on. Seriously? I get it. I understand that side of it. But some of you weren't really so libertarian to begin with. Let's just be quite honest about it. You know, when I see that 67% of Minnesotans are in favor of banning assault-style rifles, the first thing I think is at least 10% of those people are registered Republicans. And that wouldn't shock me one bit because I spend a lot of time in the Republican Party. And I can't tell you how many Republicans inside the Beltway in the metropolitan area would probably agree with banning assault rifles. We're not banning assault rifles. Are you kidding me? Have you lost your minds? Why? And you got to think, and you know, this is probably the fundamental difference, at least ideologically or theoretically, between Republicans and Democrats is Democrats believe in the infinite expansion of the federal government, at least in theory. The Republican Party in our message or platform is anchored upon limited and small government, at least in theory. Because it blows my mind that Democrats who are so afraid of fascism and the rise of a neo-Nazi government are so afraid that President Trump declares himself king and tramples all over the rights, the human rights, civil rights, God-given rights of the American people. Democrats who are so afraid of that would give up their guns. What kind of sadomasochistic citizenship is that? President Trump is a tyrant. He's going to send ICE to take black people back to Africa. And you know what? I think I'll be giving up my assault rifles today, too. Well, that just makes you a coward. That just makes you a coward who likes playing the victim rather than stand up for your freedom. And as far as the record goes, I don't want to be on the record standing side by side with you. When we say power to the people, or we the people, or of the people, for the people, by the people, you and I aren't talking about the same people. Our concept of the people is much different. Our concept of the people are the patriots at Yorktown. Our concept of the people are the patriots that held the bridge at Yorktown. That's our concept of the people. The Democrat concept of the people are something like, I don't even know who to point to throughout history. In the Jewish community, in the Jewish tradition or Jewish culture, they have the story of the unleavened bread. You know, the story of Passover, which came to reiteration during the Holocaust, is if you wait until they start asking for your papers, it's already too late. If you wait for the bread to rise, too late. Too late. And there were people who fled, you know, in Nazi Germany. And then there were people who waited too long. And too long became too costly. Who are we? How long are we going to wait? That's the question. And I don't even just mean Republicans and Democrats. I hate that, you know, I had to spend the whole 2 hours kind of dissecting the conversation into the two-party political parties, because like I said in the clip earlier with PBS, there are no more party lines. There are just nationalists and globalists. But how long are we going to wait? And I say that to all of you American citizens out there listening tonight, and I say it to the president and the rest of the administration as well. How long are we going to wait? How long are we going to play nice? How long are we going to pretend like the game is square, like these people have any sacred honor? It's like the comment, if you remember the movie Godfather 3, which some people don't really like the third Godfather. I actually enjoyed it, to be honest. But, you know, Al Pacino's a little older, and he's starting to lose something, the same way that his father, Vito Corleone, had lost in the first movie. He got, you know, as the Turk said, as the Turk Salazzo said, he got soft, he got old. You know, 10 years ago, I could have never have gotten to him, and you know, he's lost something. And, you know, Michael, in his older age, started to lose something as well. Started to lose that sense of danger around the corner. And his young bastard nephew, Vincent, played by Andy Garcia, comes under his wing and adds a little bit of muscle and a little bit of youth and ferociousness, veracity back to the equation. And he tells Michael in a meeting in Italy, you know, these people have no honor. You're playing by a set of rules that these people don't adhere to. They have no honor. So they will not hold up their end of the bargain. They will not hold up their end of the deals, any deal. And we kind of find ourselves in that place right now, where it's very hard for me to believe the people who broke this country, the people who brought this nation to her knees, will hold up their end of any deal that's struck. They can shake hands on the deal, but you just know they're crossing their fingers behind their back. And so, as some of our more extreme right wingers would say, we have to crush our enemies right here and right now. The great part about it is we don't have to go door to door. You know, it's not going to be the night of long knives. No, but institutionally, we have to do away with the pleasantries. We know what the problem is in this country. We have a constitutional crisis in the court. We know what the problem is. Everybody knows what the problem is. The courts are the problem. We all know it. Stop dancing around it. Stop playing footsie. No time for playing footsie. We're burning daylight. The courts are a problem. We have a constitutional crisis. The courts are a problem. We all know what the problem is. The problem is that the conservative movement has made the rule of law the calling card for so long, it's hard to come to grips with the fact that we may have to do something very uncomfortable to break the constitutional crisis and gridlock that stands in between us and a free and prospering America. At bottom, that is the great paradox of American politics. The Republican Party, the conservative movement, charged with the duty of maintaining the freedom that we regard as essential for our republic, has held up the rule of law as gospel for so long. As the lawmakers became less and less righteous, we failed to correct them. We failed to hold them accountable. President Trump and the Trump administration has an opportunity right here, right now, to hold the courts accountable. This is dangerous to even say. See how uncomfortable people feel? I can just hear it out there in the audience. I'm here in the studio alone, but I can feel it out there in the audience. It's like, whoa, what does that mean? Whoa, hold the courts accountable. Whoa, what does that mean? You all know what it means. You know exactly what it means. We all know what it means. It means there's going to be some courts who turn around some planes that got some illegal aliens, some illegal immigrants on them from Venezuela. Some MS-13s on them. There's going to be some judges that do some nonsense like that. And we're going to have to say, you know what? We'll be taking our country back now. No more of the nonsense. And if you want to run to the MSNBCs or the ABCs or the New York Times or the BBCs or the CMCs or the DDGs or whatever other acronym organization, if you want to run to whoever you want to run to and cry, you do it until the cows come home, but we'll be taking our country back now. To hell with the public approval. To hell with it. Thank you for having me, Alex Jones, and the entire InfoWars crew. I'm your host, Royce White. I'm here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota, running for United States Senate. Make sure you go into caucuses in Minnesota in February and any other time all across the country. I had a blast tonight. God bless you. Godspeed. God bless America. Merry Christmas. Enjoy the family, and I'll see you next time.
Remember, you fund this operation. I'm very thankful to you, and I'm challenging you, those that have supported, love the products, and those that have never gotten the products, to do your Christmas shopping with us. If you get your orders in by Friday, you're guaranteed to get it way before Christmas anywhere in the United States. Okay, because we ship out like a day after the orders come in, and most of the country gets it in 2 days. The rest three, Hawaii or Alaska, I think it's like four. So get your orders in now. The biggest sale so far, 60% off on the Ultramethylene Blue, on the Shilajit, on the Irish Sea Moss, incredible super nutrient compounds that just blow you away. You owe it to yourself to get it. Our information's strong. You know that. The products are just as strong and just as powerful. I'm challenging you to support the broadcast. Those of you who have never gotten a supplement, go to thealexjonesshow.com. Make the decision now. Get our Ultramethylene Blue. Get our Shilajit. Get our bovine colostrum. It's amazing. Experience it, and you're going to be hooked. And then we can continue on the air in a symbiotic relationship. But I need your help. Give yourself the gift of great health, clarity, and focus, and keeping powerful beacon of truth on the air, a 360 total win-win at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have limited edition fundraiser posters to keep us on the air at InfoWarsStore.com. I can't do this without you. You're not key, you're everything.
Well, hello there, Info Warriors. We are having a 60% off sale on selected items. Take a look behind me. We have the Sea Moss and Shilajit gummies. And you know, we have the medical grade methylene blue that will light your ass up like a Christmas tree. You can also buy one of me in the store. Act now while supplies last.